Okay, we are talking about the liver with Dr. Richard Massey, and we're going to get into some of the deeper things, not just on a physical level with the liver, but deeper, much more deeper with the liver. And for those that aren't familiar, we're going to be talking about recall healing and some of the more emotional sides of the liver. And so, Doc, you've been doing some work about the liver in terms of an energetic organ recently.
Yeah, you know, I started out as a medic in the Air Force, and then went to pharmacy school, and then went to medical school, and then went to anesthesiology training, and was a board certified medical doctor for many years, and did some work in the ER along the way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so people come to see me basically when they've gone through what the standard of care offers and it's just not working very well.
Mm-hmm.
So the big lecture that was a turning point for me that you can find on the internet was Dietrich Klinghardt's 5 Levels of Healing.
Okay.
And I would encourage people to at least take a look at the beginning of that lecture and to look at that chart. It looks like a little pyramid or triangle with 5 levels on it. And the bottom level is the physical body. And then the next level up is the energetic body. And then the next one up is the mental processes.
Mm-hmm.
The next one up is the family mental processes.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he calls spirit or stillness or whatever you might want to put on that level 5.
Okay.
So when people come in to see me, we basically poke their finger, put their blood under a microscope, put it on a big screen TV, and we watch their blood give its last will and testament. We're watching the last 5 to 10 minutes of this blood's life.
Okay.
And it's been known for over 100 years that in the last 5 to 10 minutes of blood's life, it tells the truth, like a deathbed confession of what's going on inside the body. And so we watch that happen. We put a heart biofeedback monitor from the HeartMath Institute on people, and they get to tell their story or just watch as the blood changes. And they can notice then with this monitor what's going on in their heart versus what's going on in just their thinking brain.
Okay.
So as they tell their story, since we're talking about liver today, what we're looking for are stories about lack and stories about respect.
Respect. And those correlate to the liver. We've often heard that the liver is associated with anger.
Yes. So if a person lacks respect, one of the reactions to that is anger.
Okay. So the root cause, even though they say it's anger, the root cause is respect.
Yes. So we're looking for stories that have the theme of lacking something because the liver is what stores food for starvation. So the part of the brain that runs biology, if we're lacking something, it's going to play that story out in the liver.
Okay.
Because that's what the liver does. If we skip a meal, the liver goes to work.
Interesting. So the respect piece is there. And what was the other piece that you said?
So we have a theme of lack and a theme about respect.
Lack and respect. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we listen for those themes as the person tells the story. So the person comes in, and if we're looking at liver, they say they've got, you know, hepatitis C. So we're watching their blood up there on the TV, and we say, you know, when did you get diagnosed? What was going on in your life at the time you got diagnosed or a little bit before? And so then we listen, and the person typically already something has shifted. Now, here's something I was never taught in school. In fact, I was taught it kind of backwards, I think. The fact that somebody's even coming to see me or somebody else means they're already healing.
Interesting. On an energetic, deep energetic level.
Yeah, it's already in process.
Okay.
My real job is to get out of their way in a skillful, gracious manner.
Okay.
Because they're in a healing movement if they're even coming to see me or somebody else.
Interesting. And you've said before, too, that the types of people that you will attract as someone who's helping assist the healing even correlates with your own health.
Absolutely.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes. Yeah, so we sort of resonate together in some way, and people come here, and it's exactly the next step that I need for what I'm up to.
Isn't that wild? So you could be having some issues with your liver, and then all of a sudden you attract five new clients to you that are all having liver pain, and then you say, wait a second, this is something that I need to maybe start looking at.
You know, I wish I was that quick, Justin. It's more like 5 years of liver people, and then I go,
Oh. We need to increase our spiritual work that we do, bring a little more awareness. Oh my gosh. But that is something that you look at now. Isn't that interesting?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Meridian and I sit down at the end of a lot of days and we put on our EM waves and we talk about, you know, what happened during the day and what our feelings and needs are. And we're working on our recall healing timelines, and these little connections happen for us. And as soon as we make a real connection, some symptom or burden in our body is relieved.
Now, does that happen? Can you feel that pretty immediately, or is it a couple day process, do you think?
Sometimes it's immediate.
And
the interesting part of that is with the actual healing being precipitated by connecting with the true story for us, there's actually a temporary swelling in the brain that happens. You know, Dr. Hammer in German New Medicine, if there's a liver problem, he actually found that there's a visible lesion on the brain CAT scan, on the part of the brain that operates the liver.
Wow. So would it be possible to, I wonder if you could work this in reverse. I wonder if someone were to get a brain scan and it showed a lesion there, that they would, or that they could correlate that with the liver.
Exactly. So in fact, that was my hearing, and I'm no expert. I didn't go to the big German New Medicine conferences, but as I've heard it through other folks, that was one of the problems, is that people who he had worked with would go in and ask for a CAT scan of their brain so they could look at their lesion to see if it was resolving or not, as a way of telling where they were in the progress of something. And that was such a different use of the CAT scan. People felt it disrupted the system or some nonsense. And he got in trouble around that. So, yeah, your insight is right on the mark. You could take a CAT scan of someone's brain and have someone skilled in German New Medicine, and they could tell you where the issues are, and then you could look for the stories backwards.
So what would be a typical story? I know you mentioned one with the hepatitis. If people are angry, I guess you would have to have somebody that would have symptoms with their liver and then work backwards from there to create a story and probe and ask questions, right?
So that's how I see it. Somebody's already come in with a Western medical diagnosis. And then my work is to say, with this diagnosis, could we find a way that the liver could actually become a member of your family and sit around at the big generational dinner table and have its story be told and respected in the family?
Interesting. So I've heard you say before, too, that you want to include in cases where people have cancer, for example, the tumor as part of a family system. So when you cut a tumor out, you're really excluding an energetic part of the family. So you don't want to be, you want to work with it, right? And you want to work with the liver pain and or the liver itself to include these as part of the family.
Yeah, we don't want to have exclusion as a way of dealing with things. which is a theme that we see in our kind of crazy society. Mm-hmm. You know, we watch all kinds of TV shows. Oh, there's somebody who's a problem. We just eliminate them. and what we've learned over the years is that just causes a spread of that kind of behavior in the future generations. It doesn't actually reduce the problem. So we want to have everybody and everything included on the one level. Now, that's not to say don't do surgery, but it's to say to work on all five of those levels that Klinghart talks about. So here's one of the paradoxes that hit me early on in this, so that we can put it in perspective and keep our common sense.
Right.
On level one, on the physical level, if I can get away with cutting out a tumor and that takes care of the whole problem, ooh, I'm going to really think about that. That's pretty good common sense, right? Okay. Got a problem, you can cut it out and be done with it. Okay, that's on the physical level.
Uh-huh.
You go up there to level three and four in the story level of the person and the family. It's just the opposite response, like when you and I did those gestalts.
Mm-hmm.
The more I resist something energetically, the stronger it becomes.
Okay, that makes sense, because there's a deeper story that needs to be expressed somewhere, right?
Right. So I remember Bert Hellinger talking about a woman he worked with whose cancer went away, but the way it happened for them was he asked her to buy a stuffed animal that for her represented the tumor and to sleep with it every night. And at first she pushed it way over on the part of the bed that was furthest away from where she was sleeping because she hated the tumor.
Interesting. Okay.
Over the months, she got to where she would get it a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And finally, she was sleeping with this little stuffed animal, hugging it.
Interesting.
At that point, the tumor went away.
Isn't that interesting? So it's an inclusion. So whenever someone feels like a pain in their liver or they're having liver issues, they want to look deeper, much, much deeper. Obviously, we're going to be talking to Meridian about some of the physical things that we can do, but they all work synergistically, right? And there's things that you could do on a deeper level.
Oh, yeah. So we so wake up in the mornings and start out the day with our coffee enemas. We're doing our liver stuff on level one, and she's going to tell you about why it's important this time of year to be doing liver things in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our big modules on Chinese medicine in medical school. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. No, we didn't. we didn't actually cover that. I missed that day.
Right.
Yeah. So those things are just stuff that wasn't important.
It's not,
and so anyway, so that's what we're doing. We're sitting there with somebody who's telling their story, and obviously they're under the care of somebody who's looking out for their life or death, most of them. We're not trying to say, you know, what you need to do is just get a stuffed animal and forget all the medical people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just be real clear. That's not what we're saying.
Right.
We're saying have a strategy on all five levels. So I do centering prayer for 22 minutes twice a day. I've been doing that for about 6 years.
Okay,
that's what I do for level five.
Okay, tell us a little bit about what that is, centering prayer for 22. Why for 22 and why twice a day?
I know. Isn't that odd? It just worked out that way. And I have twins who were born on the 22nd, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's not surprising.
Yeah, isn't that funny? So I never even looked at that till you just said that.
That's funny.
So anyway, level five is the one that Dietrich said is the spirit level. It's about stillness. It's about oneness, whatever you call that. Mm-hmm. There are really no words that are accurate for it. So Thomas Keating wrote a book called Open Mind, Open Heart. It's about a technique he uses. He's a Catholic priest, and it's called centering prayer. And it's just a little technique for participating in small moments of stillness. So in my 22 minutes, I can have anywhere from 1 millisecond to a couple of minutes of stillness, right? In the beginning, it was like trying to vaccinate a jaguar.
Oh, I mean,
my brain was just not going to be still for even 5 minutes.
Oh, I imagine.
So that part honestly looks like it's the foundation for everything else, because a lot of the things that have been healing insights for me and others happen right after the stillness period is over. The connections just seem to come out of nowhere. And that's what he describes, is that deep healing happens in the nervous system of a person when they participate in a stillness exercise. So I put an M wave on every time I do it. Mm-hmm. I've watched my data for 6 years. I started out with very low coherence, even on level one, for anybody who does heart math stuff. And now I'm on level three, and I could just watch it slowly go up, which means that my insides were healing while I was making my best effort at doing nothing at all.
Interesting. Okay.
I know. So healing is actually happening all the time in everybody. We just live in a society that markets illness and needs for us to think that the body's forgotten how to heal. And that's exactly the opposite of what's going on. The body is healing all the time.
So every moment of every day, maybe especially during sleep hours, people know about that. But every moment of every day, the body's trying to heal, but we're just sort of seeming to get in the way of all that.
Yes. And not only is it trying to heal, it actually is healing. So given what we think and believe, which are the biggest obstacles,
right?
You know, it's these obsessive belief circles we do in our brains.
Right.
But the body's healing all the time. And when we do the recall healing, what we realize is that heart attacks happen when the heart is actually in the healing phase.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that some as time goes on.
Yes.
People will kind of get that. They'll go, oh, yeah, look at that. We were healing the whole time and just got convinced that this was the disease we needed to fix, you know?
Right.
And it's just the opposite.
So what's going on with the liver in terms of correlation with like a heart attack? Would that be a liver stress that you might feel, that during the time of the stress, the liver's actually doing its healing?
Yes. So the liver, like when we have hepatitis C, let's say, the hepatitis C virus is actually in there healing the liver.
Okay, and that's completely opposite of what the medical people would say.
Right, okay. Right. So what I've observed is when I do the ultraviolet blood treatment IV with people, which I learned first at Charles Farr, the late Charles Farr's clinic, and you can read it from William Campbell Douglas and Robert Rowan and Frank Schallenberger. It started at the Mayo Clinic in the 1930s and at Johns Hopkins in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple little IV. It reverses every known infection that it's been used for. So we just do an occasional little putting of light into the bloodstream, and we find out that the liver prefers to heal with light rather than the virus.
Interesting. So that would be what you like to call an offer, right?
We're making a counter offer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're making a counter offer to something that the liver likes more, and then it can use that as instead of something like what we would consider to be a disease or some infection like hepatitis.
Right. So that's the idea. And so we keep making counter offers, you know. Vitamin C is another one that the liver would like to use so that it doesn't need so many viruses. Glutathione, a bunch of things Meridian will tell you about.
Okay.
That are great for the liver as counter offers to using a virus.
So what would be a counter offer on an energetic level, like maybe a level 5? Is that what you're talking about with centering prayer?
So on level 5, of course, we go to the stillness, and in that realm, in the realm of stillness, there's no effort to either get in the way of healing or help it. We're just releasing everything.
Okay.
We come down to level 4. So here would be like a story. So level 4 would be like a family story.
Okay.
So like somebody getting cut out of an inheritance.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
So somebody who doesn't have enough money now to live because they got cut out of an inheritance. If that's coded as a problem of lack, and if the person believes that they got cut out of that inheritance because of a lack of respect for them, that's going to program for a liver issue.
Isn't that interesting? Because of the resulting anger that comes from that, or because of the actual lack and respect itself, do you think?
Yeah, it looks like it's from the lack and respect itself.
Interesting. Okay.
And so we can inherit that tendency generationally.
Okay. So when people talk about such and such runs in the family, or my genetic history is predetermined and my dad had XYZ, so I'm going to have XYZ. There's an energetic component to that being somewhat true, but it doesn't have to be true. And that's kind of the work that we're all doing, right?
Yes, that's kind of the work that we're doing. It looks like the story determines which genes express and which ones don't.
The story, okay, so that would be in someone's story if they believe that they don't get any respect in their family because they were cut out of the will. You mean that kind of a story?
Yeah, so here would be a situation. Somebody who doesn't have hepatitis C and they're fine until they start to feel kind of tired. They go in, they're 30 years old, and they get a blood test and they find out they have hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. And you go back one or two generations and you find a story, a horrifying story about lack of respect or just lack in general, like somebody getting put in a prisoner of war camp and starved,
mm-hmm.
had lack of everything. It will have happened at the exact same age. So the person who got locked up two generations ago was 30 years old. Now this person is reenacting that genetic expression at age 30.
Now, what is that called? You've been talking about this recently, and you and I have emailed, and you've talked about these cycles. What is that called?
Yeah, there are several cycles that people use in recall healing. There are cycles of what's called autonomy. There's cycles of like the age that somebody gets diagnosed. So if they're 30 years old when they get diagnosed, what happened at age 15 and 7.5? And the brain, the biological brain, likes to repeat itself because its concern is with keeping the family system alive and functional. That's its job, is family system survival. And the family system survival is more important than individual survival, because there's no such thing in biology as an individual.
Because we're all connected.
Everybody comes from at least a mother and a father.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. So 3 is the smallest unit in biology.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Interesting, yeah.
And so there's an automatic brain that's designed to keep like 3 generations of people surviving. So let's look at my family. So in my family, when my grandmother was pregnant pregnancy number 6 and 7, mm-hmm. she left my grandfather and never came back. My dad was 4 years old. And he had 2 older brothers at the time that this happened.
Okay.
This is a family-threatening event. It threatens the survival of the family, according to the biological brain.
Okay.
So what that means is, for the next 3 generations, everybody's going to live out an answer for that crisis with their life.
And so they're going to live out an answer for that crisis in their life, whether they know it or not.
Oh, they won't know it.
Okay.
Right? Because we don't talk about these things.
Right.
Nobody gets together and talks about the real stuff.
We're good at avoiding all this stuff, aren't we?
We are. You know, we've got so many channels on our dish.
And, oh, man.
You know, so much stuff to do and income tax. And
I know.
We've got all... Don't get me started on that one. That'll go right to the liver.
It'll hurt your liver.
Yeah. So the oldest grandchild in the family, who happens to be the same number as the grandfather, his solution to avoiding this: never get married.
So his solution to that crisis, which was fear of abandonment?
Grandma leaving, Grandma leaving the family with two babies in her womb and three at home, was to don't get a woman pregnant and don't get married.
Okay.
That was his solution. And he's been a successful businessman. He's never been married and has never gotten a woman pregnant. He lived out that solution and has probably no idea to this day that that's why he made those choices.
Wow.
In our culture, we psychologize everything.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I chose this because I felt this way or felt that way. But you can see that it's driven by the biological brain to find a solution for something that threatened the survival of the family.
Interesting.
Perhaps it would help to just keep in mind that these sorts of things are unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're even specifically hidden because they're an embarrassment to the church, to people's ideas of themselves, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be something that not even everybody in the family knows about. In this case, obviously, you know, they knew about it. But the situation that people are trying to live out an answer to may be something that nobody consciously knew or has really gone to great lengths to keep a secret.
Yes.
So it's almost as if you are predestined to honor that family system, whether
Absolutely.
You know it or not.
Well, I like that word. That's exactly the way it is. And so the two big questions in this work is, what is the secret? And how is my life the answer to that?
What is the secret? Is that what you said?
What is the secret?
What is the secret? And that is, you're trying to figure out.
Yeah, what happened in the family that makes sense of the fact that I can't hold a job?
Oh, okay.
Why is it I can't hold a job? You know, I mean, I can make up all these psychological answers, but when you get into recall healing and you see that when people find the real story, they can actually find a job that they feel happy in and stay with it. And that never happened before they knew the story.
That is so fascinating. Okay, so if someone has some physical health issues going on, like we're talking here today with the liver, or it could be things in their life, like you're talking about keeping a job, you could always look back at that from a family perspective and try to figure out. But then a lot of people may be adopted, or they may not be close with their parents. How do they figure out? Is there anything they can do to figure out what their family was like?
Oh, sure. So the family tree is just one of the tools.
Okay.
And when we don't know things, we can always do something like a family constellation, which will show secrets by having other people stand in and represent aspects of the person or the family. And some people do muscle testing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do M-wave letters. I put on the HeartMath biofeedback monitor. And, you know, if I have a dream or something I think is an insight, I sit down and write something about it and see which story is true for my heart.
Interesting. So you can find out and through writing letters, and you've talked about that in terms of Dr. John Sarno. He does a lot of work with those, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. His whole work has been that if a person even writes a letter to their unconscious mind, even just a letter, most illnesses go away in a matter of weeks.
Isn't that fascinating? You gave a really good, I thought, poignant example of recall healing with the example of a heart attack and the closing of the arteries with a penned up dog that lives on the farm. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
It's a good one.
I know. It is a good story, isn't it? And, you know, honestly, that was the story that helped me to even be able to understand the recall healing book.
Because for those that aren't familiar, recall healing, it sort of turns everything upside down from our Western way of thinking of things. And so from a recall healing perspective, and this story in particular about the heart attack, but it could be overlaid on any sort of issue that you have in your life, is that the heart attack itself is the healing. And so this could be with the liver itself or any other organ, but people don't look at it like that because it's completely opposite, right?
Yes. And Dr. Hammer, the guy that did the German New Medicine, actually says that 90% of the problems we have comes from believing the diagnosis.
Okay, so the diagnosis itself is a more powerful thing, do you think, than the actual physical thing that whatever's being diagnosed?
Right, that's what he believed. And so let me tell you the story about that.
Wow.
Okay, so were you born in a hospital or were you born at home?
Oh, gosh. How much do I wish I could say I was born at home? I was born in a hospital. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and for the people out there who want to get a look at that, watch the documentary called The Business of Being Born.
Okay.
You'll get to see Ricky Lake talk about her home birth and her hospital birth and see some experts and see some of the most shocking videos of obstetrics and delivery I've ever seen in my life.
It's a great documentary.
Uh-huh. The Business of Being Born.
Yeah.
And so here we are. You and I, we're born to people that are about 20 times bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine what it'd be like if you and I walked outside and saw somebody 20 times our size.
Wow.
Right? I mean, like they would be like gods or something, right?
Yeah, the Nephilim.
You know, and they could produce food like magic.
Right.
Like you just get next to your mom and this food comes in your mouth. How does that happen? Right?
Right.
And they can do all these amazing things. They have incredible magical powers. But there are times when even these huge godlike creatures are perplexed. And where do they go when they're perplexed about me? They go to see Super God.
Oh.
And Super God has a white coat and a stethoscope.
Okay.
And works in a very special place. And Mommy and Daddy God hand me over to Super God.
Uh-huh.
When they really aren't sure what to do, and they say that Super God will take care of it. Okay, that goes into our unconscious brain, and we're going along as this 30-year-old, and we walk into the doctor's office. He's sitting there with a white coat and a stethoscope, and he says, "You have hepatitis C, and here are your choices." And we go right to the fact that this guy's Super God.
Not even questioning once the situation at hand at all.
Well, no.
Yeah.
This guy is somebody that our own parents handed us over to in some ritual.
Wow. So the assumptions are believed to be true without even doing any further thinking.
It would be heresy to even ask a question.
Interesting. So when he stands over you and gives you that diagnosis, he's really saying a lot of things that are seemingly unknowable because he's only going off of a blood test that happened in the past, and there's lots of things that he can't see right there in the moment. But since we don't question that and we accept the authority figure standing in front of us, then that's where the problems arise, right? Believing his story.
Yeah, it would actually destroy our whole personality to doubt this person, because our whole life is based on that. If I'm born in a hospital, my parents deeply believed that they were not enough to give birth to me.
Wow.
We actually needed a doctor there. And if that is part of my birth, that's part of the conditions by which I live. It's like it would kill part of me to doubt this guy.
Wow. Okay. So it's David Jubb has a really good line about this. He says it's submission to authority for the sake of certainty.
And it happened through our parents, not by us. And the doctor is also a victim here.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor has no idea this is how the psyche works. There were about two doctors in my class that actually did research on what they ended up working on. The rest of us, we learned what we were told and we repeated what we were told. We have no idea if it's even true or not.
Wow. So there's only two doctors in your class that did the actual physical research.
Yeah, and the thing that they went to work in. They were getting an MD so that they could get promoted in their research. You know, they were working on kidney stuff or something like that. The rest of us, we did not do the science. We're just trusting what our professors told us that science meant, because the sheer volume of information is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. As one of my doctor friends today says, she said, I can only help patients that I can out-Google.
Then out-Google. Nice. Wow. That's amazing. And so maybe that was by design in terms of the so much information, just overload.
You could certainly say that, and I wouldn't argue that with you.
Yeah, yeah. So the recall healing for people that do have liver issues, they should really look deeply, much more deeply into those areas of lack, respect, and how that correlates with anger, specifically in their family line.
Yes, and strangely as it seems, the first visit in recall healing is considered a success if the person can come to a place of doubting the certainty of the diagnosis and prognosis.
You said something once that I thought was really interesting. You said if someone who had been diagnosed with some sort of tumor or whatever it is in their body, you said something that was really cool. You said, imagine what it would be like if you were to question that and say, how would I feel right now if that tumor was not there? And to explore what that feels like. And so that's what you're kind of saying here is, if you can even just put a crack in the armor of what that diagnosis is, then you can start exploring a little bit of, down that path.
Yes. Yeah. If people are interested, I really enjoy listening to Greg Braden. The guy really looks at reality, and I feel positive after I listen to him, which is a rare thing. And he has this little 20-minute YouTube called How to Pray with Power.
Oh, okay.
And it's about that very thing. And that was actually in the original writings of the Bible, but it was edited out. It says, when you pray, feel as if you already have the answer, and you will have the answer. It says, pray without hidden motive or without judgment, and feel as if you are surrounded by your answer, and you'll be able to say to this mountain, be removed, and it will be removed, right? That's the full verse. Mm-hmm. You get to see him put that up on a board, and it's like it matches all the things all the other traditions talk about, and shows that video of that lady's bladder tumor disappearing in 2 minutes and 40 seconds with those Chinese medicine doctors just chanting at it. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting thing to listen to if you grew up in a Southern Baptist church like me that didn't really appreciate how much of the Bible was edited out and mm-hmm. what an effect that can have.
Wow.
To re-include those things. And it matches a lot of the German New Medicine and the recall healing ideas.
So do you think that meditation would be good? You talked about doing centering prayer. What other sort of things can people do for their livers in terms of working on this either fourth or fifth level?
Yes. So, recall healing practitioners are out there, and Meridian can give you some names of people to work with. About 1 out of 12 people seem to be really susceptible to hypnosis. Mm-hmm. Hypnosis is a level 4 intervention. For people who have shamans in their tradition, that's also a level 4 intervention. Where people can get at those deep generational stories that we've inherited. It's wonderful to come from a place of fear and end up in a place of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the journey.
Isn't that fascinating? So that would apply to really any sort of liver stress, anything going on with the liver, really.
Sure. And there'll be specific stories and little subtonalities, you know, with cirrhosis versus fatty liver, versus hepatitis versus whatever, liver cancer. They'll each have a different tone to them, but they've all been successfully resolved. I guess resolved is a good word to say. The healing gets completed when people complete the story that's unfinished, that either happened in their family history, their pregnancy and birth. And it's just the satisfaction of finishing the story.
So is it possible that if people are unable to figure out what a story is it possible for someone to make up a story and believe that?
So that's a fascinating part, and Meridian will get into that with some homeopathy.
Okay.
Homeopathy is based on the law of similars, not on the law of exacts. So it turns out that even if a person finds a story that's similar to what really happened in their family history, that's enough to reprogram the biological brain.
Wow. Okay. So really with the liver, I guess with any organ, I mean, you have to work on, if you really want to make progress with your health and that's your goal, you really need to work on many different levels, because someone could be, you know, a hypochondriac, or they could be angry and they're eating the best. Maybe they're raw food, a vegan or paleo person. They're eating the cleanest diet ever, but they're sitting in a car and they're stressed and they're worried and they're frantic and anxious. And so you have these deeper levels that are, could be mitigating some of the stuff they're doing on a physical level.
Yeah, so we do something on every level, do it the best we can. I was listening to Joubert Renault, the recall healing guy. We bought a lot of his DVDs. I was listening to him talk about a guy who ended up with a liver issue. And this guy had something happen early in his life, like when his mom was pregnant with him, and in the first year of his life, there was severe lack of food. So here he is in his 60s, a well-known executive. He's giving all this money to his family, but he stays in the cheapest hotels everywhere he travels and takes a little hot plate and will cook a little can of beans for himself. And that's all he will eat, because he sends all the money to his family, because the story of lack still runs his perception. He doesn't understand he's a multimillionaire. He really actually cannot see it. And so at some point on an anniversary of this stuff, he develops liver cancer.
But I think it's so important, you know, when you're listening to a story like that, because it gets very moving, is that we realize that that was his answer to survival for himself or for his family,
yeah,
was to eat this little can of beans. That's what kept him alive. Or his ancestor alive.
So that was his lived out story. And so here's the thing, that it's the answer, right? The answer would be to have more, like he's demonstrated he has more. Mm-hmm. But we're living out answers to problems that happened 1 to 3 generations ago. They're not what's happening now. And that's the problem. The answer that I'm living out is for a problem that happened a long time ago, not for a problem that's happening now.
Wow.
So that's why we finished the story.
Okay.
So everything I have that's called a disease is being produced on purpose by my biological brain.
Do you think that it would make sense that on a deeper level that the story sort of almost seems eternal in the sense that it must be completed a physical biology? And so this is our chance to wake up and to see the deeper meanings of these things.
I like that. I like the way you say that.
That could be. That's so interesting. So it's also not just trying to complete itself, but it's using you as a conduit to wake up.
Yes. Oh, very nice.
That makes so much sense.
Everything's about waking up, I think, when we get right down to it, we see it in the stories.
That is so funny.
Ultimately about that, and it's about loyalty, and it's about answers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and this feeling that Justin's feeling right now, Yeah. You know, you can hear it in his voice. You've made some kind of connection for yourself. And for me, that's the best part, is watching me or Meridian or you or whoever make that connection, and some light comes on. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Wow. Because it's so interesting that, I mean, it's almost a blessing to think that a disease would use you as a conduit in order to wake yourself up. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it, obviously.
Yeah, depending on how you look at it, it could be a marketing opportunity for some people.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay, so for those that are interested in more in recall healing, would you say a good resource is, I mean, you do a lot of recall healing work with people, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Can people do work with you with recall healing? Do they need to be physically in your location?
No, they can actually call us, and we do most of it by phone consultation.
Okay.
I think that's true of almost all the recall healing people we know of. Most of them do their work through Skype or through the phone.
Okay, that is so great. And so one doesn't necessarily need to have all the answers in terms of what went on in their family history. That can be learned throughout the session.
Oh, yes. And once somebody starts the process, it's amazing how often they'll get a call from somebody they haven't heard from in so many years, and they give them a puzzle piece that they would have had no idea was out there.
Wow. Wow. So fascinating. All right, Doc. Well, I'll let you go because I know that you are a busy guy. You want to get back to jumping on that rebounder. Good for the liver, right?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, I'll let you go, and I'll stop the recording here. Thanks, Doc, for being on today.
All right, enjoyed it.
Thanks.